We are just so happy to have you here for this last concluding day and most important day, we think, of this missionary conference, and just very, very exciting to think about what the Lord might do today for missions. And it is my delight today to welcome the missionary that you've been waiting all week to hear from. Because of the combining of the revival and missionary conference and homecoming, to accommodate the tent meeting that's coming up in the end of September, we just kind of scrunched everything all together. And because of that, we have just had to do all kinds of juggling with our missionaries. Brother Mark, we always give our missionaries at least two times to say something here, and usually a whole session. And this time, though, it was just so tough to get everything in and have the revival speaker, too. But I know you folks have been curious about this man who's been sitting here and just doing so much to help us. Every time I would call Brother Mark Liedtke, he would. His answer was yes, even before I got him. He got finished asking him what I wanted him to do and how I wanted him to shift around and do this. I think the next call he was expecting me to say, "Brother Mark, can you stand on your head for the entire conference and just to help us out?" I think he would have tried to do it anyway. Just been such a blessing. Then last night, we went out to the great tent revival prayer meeting that was held out there on the site. Oh, my goodness. What a sight to see all those people spread out across that huge field out there, about 70 acres, according to the owner, and just crying out to God. It was just a tremendous, tremendous sight. I wish all of you could have seen it, and you may be able to because Brother Mark took pictures. And were you taking video also, my brother? Okay, maybe able to see some of that. Very exciting. But anyway, now he just volunteered to do that. I love people that just can figure out what to do next. You know, I've never had that problem of being, I see what's right in front of me, but not what needs to be done next. And so, anyway, he's just been a blessing around here. And he's going to come, I don't know what all he's got brewed up here. Brother Mark is a brewer, but not that kind up there in Milwaukee. I mean, he brews things up that are good and solid. So, Brother Mark, you come if you will, and just take over this session and keep it going to about a quarter till, if you would, please, sir. Welcome. Thank the you, Phantom brother. Man. All right.
Buenos dias. In a moment, my son Sam is going to come. We don't get to hear him sing very often because he's been driving on a truck trying to make money to go back to school and finish his studies so he can serve the Lord. But he has a beautiful voice. I think you will enjoy it. And my other son, Dan, is here, and he's going to play for him, and he's going to do the offertory a little bit later. But let me just tell you, thank you for your hospitality. The Heises have been a special blessing to us. I was jumping up and down when the couple to Spain got up to speak, because I am from Huancayo, the city that her father was from in Peru. And that was exciting. We got to talking. I even gave her some names, and I wanted to ask her if she could ask her dad and her grandfather if they remembered my family, because it was a smaller town back then in the 60s. But as the week wore on, the Lord has just been teaching us a lot. Now, you say we've been sitting there. Brother, we've been soaking. It's been like drinking out of a fire hose. And we've been soaking a lot of information. Brother Bill has shared books with us. Yesterday, he doesn't know it, but we snuck into his bus, saw all his instruments, and used some of his tools to change the brakes in Brother Heiss's daughter's car. And we went to a goat farm yesterday, learned a lot about chickens and dogs and goats. And you say, well, what does that have to do with missions? Well, you know, we're going to use these things. We're going to use our knowledge of animals down there, because there's going to be a couple that has no food that comes to our door and is going to say, can we have something? And we'll have a chicken to give to them. We'll have some goat milk to give to them. Or we'll say, hey, you need a job, we'll put you to work. Can you milk the goats? And anything like that we can use to serve the Lord and to bring people to Christ. And so you pray for us as we go, and I just want to thank you, first of all, for your generosity I see some gentlemen who love hunting and archery back there. I even got to go to my last chance archery, and it was my last chance to start back up. I hunted way back when, brother, when I was younger and thinner, and I think I've increased, and they had a hard time measuring me for a bow, but we had a good time. I learned a lot about that, just getting to know you, and thank you so much for all those of you who have taken us out to eat, have had us in your home and different things. We're just so thankful and for your hospitality, for your friendship, and we're thankful for your prayers. A lot of you told us you've been praying for us. Thank you for praying for our sons who are looking for a job there in Columbus, Georgia. And I know our pastor is excited to hear about what's going on. Now, I'll ask Sam to come on up, and he's going to share a song about our attitude towards God being broken, being willing to be broken and spilled out as Christ was, whose body was broken for us.
For love of you, Jesus, my own precious treasure, lavished on thee, broken and spilled out, and poured at your feet, in sweet abandon, let me be poured out and used up for thee. One day, a plain village woman, driven by love for her Lord, recklessly poured out a valuable essence, disregarding the scorn. And once it was broken and spilled out, fragrance filled all the room. Like a prisoner released from his shackles, like a spirit set free from the tomb, broken and spilled out, just for love of you, Jesus, my own precious treasure, lavished on thee, broken and spilled out, and poured at your feet. Abandon, let me be spilled out and used up for thee. Whatever it takes to be yours, Lord, whatever it takes to be clean, I just can't live without your sweet approval, no matter what it may mean. I throw myself at your feet, Lord, broken by your love for me. May the fragrance of total commitment. Be the only defense that I need, broken and spilled out, just for love of you, Jesus. My own precious treasure, lavished on precious treasure, His love and His own perfect Son, sent here to show me the love of the Father. Yes, just for love it was done. And though you were perfect and holy, you gave up yourself willingly, and you spared no expense for my pardon. You were spilled out and wasted for me, broken and spilled out, just for love of me, Jesus. God's most precious treasure, lavished on me. Broken and spilled out, and poured at my feet. In sweet abandon, Lord, you were spilled out and used up for me.
In a few moments, you're going to see a video that's going to show you in a capsule our testimonies, how we were saved, and how the Lord called us into the ministry of Belize. There are people in Central America that are searching for the Lord. They're searching for God. Some are trying to find it in ancient religions. The Mayans are looking for God in their own way in many, many villages. As we traveled and we visited Belize, we went from village to village, from city to city, and we would knock on the door and we would ask, do you know if there is a Baptist church or a church that taught the Bible? Baptist. I mean, we talked to policemen. We talked to people who know the town. Oh, yeah. It's a Baptist church in the corner. We would go. It was Seventh-day Adventist. There's a church. I think it's Baptist. It's over there. It was a Catholic church. And the first time we went around, we did not see any Mormons. We did not see any Jehovah's Witnesses. But the second time I returned to Belize, sadly to say, about 8-9 months ago, I saw the young men on their bicycles and the men with their purses going door to door and trying to sell their religion and their ideas and their false hope. And my heart was just stirred with anger. And I thought, I need to be here. One thing that motivates me
to go to Belize is another gentleman who's down there, and we've visited him twice now. And his name is Mike Leonard. He's with another mission board. He's doing a tremendous work, but he speaks only English. He has a large family, wonderful people. But he said to me, I have pastored, and how would you like to have 30 to 40 people sitting up here and who came Sunday after Sunday and couldn't understand a thing you were saying, but they kept coming back just to stare at your face. And I said, why do they come back? He said, they're hungry. I said, they don't speak any English. They don't speak any English. And his last statement was, when are you getting here, man? he was Special Forces, Army. So he goes to it, you know, and he's building his church. He was in construction. And he told me, he said, you get here, I'm going to build your house. I'm going to build your church. I'll help you. And so we're excited to get there. We don't have to go to language school. We don't have to go to training. We've done all the training. We've had experience. We're just waiting for the Lord to provide the way. And we thought this was going to be a 2 to 3 year process. And the Lord has already shortened that process. In 10 months, we've been able to raise 56% of our support. In a year in which Washington is saying there is trouble in the town and there's no money in the purse, God is saying, it's all my money. And I'm going to pay for it if I want to. And He's taking care of it. So you keep praying for us as you watch. And then afterwards, we're going to go to the Word of God.
On the east coast of Central America, just south of the Yucatan Peninsula of Mexico, one finds the intriguing country of Belize. Bordering the Caribbean Sea to the east, Mexico to the north, and Guatemala to the west and south, Belize has long been attractive to tourists for its large barrier reef, the second largest in the world, and the mysterious Great Blue Hole. Many cruise ships come into port in Belize City so that passengers can enjoy world-class fishing, snorkeling, and scuba diving amidst this area's rich natural wonders. The population of Belize is just over 300,000 people, made up of Mayas, Garifunas, Creoles, and Mestizos.
Due to its history as a British protectorate for many years, Belize is the only country in Central America where English is the official language. However, Spanish, Creole, and other languages are also widely spoken. The food is as diverse as the people, with rice and beans being a staple, and gibna, a large rodent, being a national delicacy. Traveling an hour and a half inland, you will find the quaint capital city of Belmopan in the Cayo district. It is from this area and westward to the Guatemalan border that the Lord has burdened our heart to preach and show the glad tidings of His kingdom.
Hello, my name is Mark Liedtke, and I am originally from Peru, South America. Having lost both of my parents by the age of 10, the Lord used an American Christian businessman who was distributing Bibles in Peru to bring me to the United States in 1973. During my first year in Indiana, I lived with a Christian family and attended a Christian school and a Baptist church. I soon realized my personal need of salvation and called upon the Lord as my Savior. I was later placed as a foster child in the home of Jim and Donna Goering, who treated me as their own son and discipled me. While living in their home, I followed the Lord in baptism and went on to a Christian college to study art. During my freshman year, the Lord impressed upon my heart the great need for preachers to the Spanish-speaking world, and I changed my major to Bible. Through the drowning death of my summer roommate, who was burdened for the people of Haiti, I asked the Lord to let me take his place on the mission field, and God confirmed this call in my heart.
Hi, I'm Brenda. I was born into the Christian home of John and Frances Asprey in the smallest state in the U.S., Rhode Island. I was saved at the age of 6 after listening to my mom give a lesson on the crucifixion during a children's Bible club she held in our home. I was baptized at age 8 and surrendered my life as a teenager to do whatever God would have me to do for Him. I met Mark during our college years, and he challenged me to consider missions. After praying about it, I surrendered to work as a missionary if my husband was called to missions work. In August of 1984, Mark and I were married, and the Lord has blessed us with 4 children. Our oldest 3 are now young adults. Our youngest, Libby, will be serving with us in Belize.
In 1989, we started our journey together working as church planters with the Spanish-speaking people in Ecuador, South America. The Lord allowed us to win many people for His kingdom and start a church, Iglesia Bautista de la Fe, in the city of Cuenca. The church now has an Ecuadorian pastor and will shortly celebrate its 15th anniversary. In 1997, we returned to the United States for additional training while heading up the Spanish ministry in our church in Indiana. From 2005 to the present, we have been working at Grace Baptist Church of Columbus, Georgia, under the leadership of Pastor Jeff Amsbaugh. I have served as Spanish pastor, and both Brenda and I have been teaching at Grace Christian School. We are very thankful for the ministry of our local church and for the great missions emphasis that Pastor Amsbaugh has led us in at Grace. Our heart's desire has been to work again spreading the gospel on the foreign field. In February of 2009, during our church's annual missions conference, the Lord spoke to both of our hearts that now is the time to make that move. We prayed and asked the Lord for specific direction, and He worked through His Word, our pastor, the 100 Nations Project, and Baptist International Missions Incorporated to confirm His call for us to work with the Spanish-speaking people in Belize, Central America.
During the time that Mark and Brenda have been on staff here, they have served in a variety of ministries that will be invaluable to them on the mission field. Mark has taught Spanish in our high school, and his art students have placed in national fine arts competition. He served as an administrator of Grace Christian School and has been used by God to help us with a variety of construction projects around the church. Brenda, who is fluent in Spanish, has taught both pre-K and second grade classes, and God has used them to lead Panamanians, Hondurans, Guatemalans, Puerto Ricans, and Mexicans to the Lord. There's no denying that Mark and Brenda will be missed when they depart for Belize, but God has sharpened and perfected them for this pinnacle venture of ministry. As Mark and Brenda's pastor and brother-in-law, it is my joy to recommend them to you for prayer and financial support.
In the spring of 2009, the Lord graciously allowed us to take a survey trip to Belize with our pastor and his wife. We traveled much of this small country and were drawn to the cities of San Ignacio and Benque, on the western border with Guatemala. There are many Mayan and Spanish-speaking communities throughout this area without a good Bible-preaching Baptist church.
It was our observation through our travels and conversations with many of these people that there is a great need for church-planting missionaries who are committed to not only evangelizing but discipling the people of Belize. Some Christians have come to this area on short-term trips to do charity or medical work, but have just as quickly left baby Christians open to false teachings. Spiritism and the occult are active in Belize, but more than anything, we noticed a great spiritual vacuum and found ourselves hard-pressed to find Baptist churches of any sort.
The Lord has impressed on our hearts the great lack of Bible preaching and the great spiritual need of the people in Belize. Our immediate goal is to start a solid Spanish Bible Preaching Church in the San Ignacio Benque area. Belize is a peaceful country and will also be a great place for a Bible Institute that can send out workers to the rest of Central America. As the believers mature in the faith, we would like to train them to reach their own people, as well as many of their relatives and friends back in Guatemala, Mexico, and Honduras. An itinerant work will also be necessary into the outlying villages for preaching the word and discipling them in the faith. About 50% of the population in Belize is under 15 years of age, and all education is privately funded. There are schools in the country run by the Catholic Church, as well as Seventh-day Adventists and other groups. We would eventually like to have our own Christian school for the children in our area. There are many needs in Belize, and the Lord's return is soon. Luke 8 tells us that Jesus went throughout every city and village with his message. This is also our mission, and we ask for your help in spreading the gospel in the country of Belize. We know God is faithful, and he will be our helper. We also desire your prayers and partnership in this pioneering work.
All right, while you open your Bibles to the book of Mark, chapter 5, I'd like to ask a couple of nice-looking young men to come on up here. I need two good-looking young men, strong, healthy, that can help me pass these handouts out. Boy, you don't have any strong, healthy, good-looking young men. Pastor, you'll do. I mean, amen. Strong, healthy, young, good-looking young men. This morning, as I told Brother Matt about this message, he said, I have been wanting to preach that message. That's one of the messages that I prepared. And I can't wait to hear it. I said, I can't wait to hear it either. Now, Mark chapter 5, we're going to read a few verses, and we're going to talk about a missionary story. You say, wait a minute. Mark chapter 5 says the Gadarene, the demoniac from Gadara. Yes, that's the right story. We're going to look at a man that Christ came and whose life was changed. For the sake of time, we'll just remain seated. Let me go ahead and start reading chapter 5, verse 1. And they came over unto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always night and day he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him and cried with a loud voice and said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee that by God that thou torment me not. For Jesus had said unto him, Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, What is thy name? And he answered, saying, My name is Legion, for we are many. And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there was there nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought him, saying, Send us into the swine, that we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. They were about 2,000, and were choked in the sea. And they that fed the swine fled and told in the city and in the country, and they went out to see what it was that was done. And they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with a devil and had the legion, sitting and clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time that we can have with you this morning. We thank you that your word is being explained by the Holy Spirit to our hearts. And I pray that you will remove any distractions this morning. I pray that our minds and our hearts will be totally focused on Thee. And I pray that you will speak to us so that we will be different. We will be changed when we leave this place. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. By definition, we can say that a missionary is a person who leaves his place of comfort, goes to another place, and shares the gospel with another person. You say, you're talking about me and my lazy boy sitting there watching the ball game, and as I look out the window, Mr. Smith across the street is watering his lawn, and you want me to shut off the ball game and walk across the street and talk to Mr. Smith. Am I being a missionary? Yes, you're doing the work of a missionary. You're not a missionary. You haven't come to BIMI yet, but you are doing the work of a missionary. You're leaving your place of comfort. And by the way, many of us are still sitting on that chair. Amen? Ooh, I didn't hear very many amens on that one. Some of you ladies are looking out the window and you're washing your dishes and you're in your place of comfort. And God has given you a beautiful home. I visited some of those. And it is so hard to walk those 50 yards or 20 yards and go over to that lady and say, by the way, Hilda, have you ever thought what would happen if you were to die? Where would you go? It is so hard to do that. But we see someone in this story that left his place of comfort and went to tell others about Jesus. My question to you this morning is, who is the missionary in this story? Well, let's look at it. The Bible tells us that this man was in a desperate situation. First of all, if you're filling out that outline so that you don't fall asleep on me, he was chained. He was chained. Verses 1 through 5 tells us that he was bound or chained by death. He was a living person among the dead. I have news for you this morning. You are a living person. If you belong to Jesus Christ, you will be living forever with Him. But you are living among the dead. Your neighbors, your friends, at the Dollar General. Is there a Dollar General around here? I mean, there is one every 5 miles. I'm going to start buying stock on Dollar General. Better than Walmart. My goodness. They are everywhere. I don't know how they make it. Is there even a dollar? But at the Dollar General, where you go to buy those cheap cards, right? The 50-cent cards, that's right, or less if you can get them. And you buy those balloons for a dollar instead of the $6 balloons at the store. You ladies know, you men know, you probably don't buy your tools there. But anyway, there are people there, aren't there? When you go to Walmart, when you go to the library, when you go anywhere there's a group of people gathered, think to yourself, I am in a cemetery. I am in a cemetery. Because each one of those persons, by calculation, over 98% of the population of the world are not saved. So probably, if there's 100 people there, 98 of them are headed for hell. And they are dead. The Bible tells us they are dead men walking. The Bible tells us they've already been condemned by their sins. You are in a cemetery. This man was living among the dead. Second, he was bound by the devil. Not only death surrounded him, but demons, an unclean spirit, was trying him, was oppressing him. The devil wants to destroy humanity today. The devil wants to destroy families, marriages, young people. Now you say, why does he want to destroy them? Because you and I remind Satan of God. I don't care what you look like in the morning, but when you look at yourself in that mirror, think about this. I was created in His image. God has eyes because He sees. God has ears because He hears my prayer. God has a mouth because He speaks. God has a nose. As the prayers of His saints ascend up into heaven, the Bible tells us there is a sweet-smelling savor in His nostrils. You say, you're being irreverent. No, it's in the Bible. God put some things in us so that when we look at ourselves and we look at other people, we can remember we belong to God. Someone made us and we're responsible to Him. Satan hates it. Every time a couple comes up and gets married, I don't care if it's in a tribe, brother, and they jump a broom. I don't care if it's on the other side of the world and a man and a woman come together in marriage. They are representing the Lord Jesus Christ and His church. They don't know it. But the whole institution of marriage was created to remind humankind one day Jesus is coming for His bride. Satan hates it. So he's trying to destroy us. He was trying to destroy this poor man. Not only was he surrounded by death and by the devil, but he was chained by depression. He cried. He tried to self-destroy. He was cutting himself. So I could speak. He was cutting himself. I could. There's a whole other sermon on tattoos and piercings. We won't get into this morning. Satan wants to destroy man. And every little thing that he can do to tear that person down in his image is an insult to God. He was surrounded by depravity. He had uncontrollable sin. The Bible tells us that people would bind him and chain him, but he couldn't be controlled. Man, science, and doctors, you'll have to forgive me, but you can only go so far. There are things that you cannot do for a person that only God can do. Science can only go so far. And this man was not being helped by the science of his day. They were trying to give him whatever the treatment was then. It may not have been a pill, but it was a chain, shock treatment. I don't know what they had. They tried to control what was controlling him, and they couldn't, because it was a spiritual battle, and only Jesus could take care of this. He was surrounded, he was chained by desperation. He was without help, without hope, without friends. His family members loved him and missed him. And they would point at him from far away and say, "Honey, there is your uncle. There is your dad. I wish he could come back home." But he is uncontrolled, uncontrollable, and he is dangerous to us. How many homes have you been to where the father was a danger to the children, to the wife? That happens today in our society because they're controlled by liquor, by drugs, by their sin. Number two, he was changed by Christ. Here's the exciting part. Jesus Christ came and changed him. He was converted. And when Jesus came and the man was made anew, there were several things very clear that people could see in his life that he was a changed man. He wasn't just dressed in a suit. Look what it says. First of all, the Bible tells us that he was sitting. Verse 15, he was sitting. What does this mean to us? It means he knew his place in Christ. He was in church on Sunday morning. He was with a pastor at the prayer time on Saturday night. On Wednesday night, he was in church. He was asking the pastor, "What can I do for the church? How can I serve? I've got a little time here and here, or I would like to do more in this church." He was in his place where God wanted him to be. He was sitting by Christ. Remember Martha and Mary? What did Jesus say to Martha? "Martha, Martha, you're cumbered about..." There you are, chopping up the pico de gallo and trying to make this meal as delicious as you can, but Mary is sitting here trying to establish a close, intimate relationship with me. She is trying to listen to my teaching. She is trying to get closer to God. You are trying to serve God. You are busy, but you're missing out, Martha. Many times we're busy in life. We're doing many things, but we're far from God. Not only was he sitting, but he was clothed. Here's another whole message on modesty. Listen, when God dressed Adam and Eve with those skins, and I usually ask this question, who was the first person to kill another being in the Bible? And most people say, Cain killed his brother. God had to kill an animal to dress Adam and Eve. And to show them, my son will one day bleed and die so that he can dress you with his righteousness. Just like I am dressing you right now with this robe. It wasn't a bikini. It wasn't a pair of shorts. Christ's righteousness covers us completely. It's an insult to God to say, well, they were wearing something less. The leaves were not enough, remember? So God dressed them. And that principle of modesty is a principle of holiness that should continue to this day, but we've forgotten it. And society keeps fighting against it. And you are having a hard time, ladies, finding a dress for your daughter at that store. Why? Because that store is filled with the philosophy of Satan. The less you wear, the more attractive you're going to be. I'm sorry. That's another message. Okay. He was clothed. His whole body communicated, I belong to Christ. And he was sane, the Bible says. He had the mind of Christ. He had peace in his heart. He was making Christ-like decisions. I could go into, oh boy, all the guys and their toys and their F-250 pulling that big boat. Some of you guys are smiling, some of you are frowning at me. I love to fish, guys. I love to hunt. But listen, when we decide to buy something instead of feeding our children, that's not a Christ-like decision. He was making Christ-like decisions. All right, let's go to the conclusion. Let me ask you again, who is the missionary in this story? Who left his place of comfort to go somewhere else to reach someone who was in a desperate situation? Jesus did. Very good. And now, like Paul Harvey says, the rest of the story. Verses 16 through 20, very quickly, in 30 seconds, and they saw that it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine, and they began to pray him to depart out of their coast. Jesus comes to your town. He cleanses the meanest, the ugliest, the most dangerous man in town, and they beg him to leave. Instead of saying, listen, I've got a husband that acts like that. Would you please come and change him? Listen, Lord Jesus, stay with us. We need your help. Thank you for... I couldn't walk through the cemetery. I couldn't walk through this area. I told my kids not to go outside. But they said, would you please leave? We want to keep our demoniacs around here. Many people are that way. And Jesus is not going to stay. He's not going to force his love on us. If he's not wanted, he's going somewhere else where he's needed. So what happened? They begged him to leave, and they began to pray him to depart out of their coast. And when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Lord, I just want to be with you. I love this. You've changed me, Lord. You've given me a new life. You've dressed me in your righteousness. I just want to be with you. What did Jesus say to him? I've got a job for you. Howbeit, Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath compassion on thee. And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. He was called by Jesus. He had a purpose for him, a plan. He told him to go to his loved ones first, his Judea, his Jerusalem, his Judea, and then his neighbors, his city, and share what God has done for him. Let me ask you once again, who is the missionary in this story? The man answered the call. Because the Bible says he went to Decapolis, which is a larger city. Verse 20, he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. This story started in a small town of Gadara. But he did not just share what God had done for him in Gadara. He went to the larger city. This tells me he answered the call to missions. This tells me He was the missionary in this story. Yes, Jesus brought the gospel, but Jesus called him and sent him, and he obeyed and he went. My questions to you this morning are, what controls you? Are you in the place of this man? Is there something that's still chaining you that Jesus needs to come and free you from? Are you a changed person in Christ? Can people see the difference? Are you sitting in the right place? Can people tell that you have been with Jesus in prayer, in the Word of God? Is your life different? Are you obeying God's call? If He's saying to you, I want you to go, I want you to get up out of your lazy chair and go across the street and witness to that man for Christ. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this reminder to all of us that you can use anyone, even a person who is totally chained to demons, to a horrible life, a person who was scary to be around. And yet, Jesus came and changed him. And Jesus can change anyone. And perhaps if there's one here today whose life needs to be changed, or there's someone who's resisting change, or who's resisting the call to go somewhere, even if it's across the street or across the ocean, I pray that you'll work in their life today in Jesus' name. Amen.